Now, Saturday lunchtimes wouldn't be the same without Fevzi Turkalp from Gadget Detective, and he's with us now on BBC Radio Berkshire. How are you?
Good afternoon, Vermin. I'm very good, thank you. How are
good.
You doing?
Yeah, we're okay, really. I'm just a bit sort of shocked that we're already in October, because to me it feels like it should only be the end of August.
I know.
It's a bit scary,
I know.
Isn't it?
Well, now I'm looking forward to the summer.
I wonder what you were going to say. I thought you were going to mention the Christmas word then for a moment. I got
no,
ever so slightly
no, God,
worried.
No.
So what we'll do the usual thing today, which is we'll do gadgets of the week, and then we'll talk a bit about various other things as well. What's happening in the tech world at the moment?
In terms of gadgets, well, you know, when I get sent gadgets to review, it's all about this is faster than this and this specification and these, you know, dots per inch and megahertz, gigahertz and all the rest of it. And sometimes the use of technology is about ergonomics. It's about making the tech that you've got just work better for you. And particularly, you know, if we spend a long time sitting at desks, and particularly now we're a lot of us still working from home or, you know, newly working from home, our laptops are not the right height. They're not set up properly for us. So I took a look at some accessories from a company called 12 South, and although they specialize in accessories for Mac computers. In fact, a lot of their gadgets and accessories can be used more widely. So I thought we'd just have a look at a handful of the stuff from 12 South and just look at the ways in which sort of ergonomics can make life better for you. So one of the problems is, for example, you've got a screen. You could have like an iMac with an all-in-one screen, or you could just have a computer with a monitor, and the monitor is just at the wrong height. And it's really, you know, useful just to be able to adjust that. So they've got a product called the 12 South Curve Riser Monitor. And it's basically, it's a stand. It's, you know, it's about £60-odd. And it just helps bring the monitor up to the right eye level. And it doesn't sound like much because our heads move, and you think it doesn't really matter if our heads are looking up a bit or down a bit. But actually, it really does. And it's a beautiful looking ergonomic stand made almost all their stuff's made out of aluminium, so that it sort of matches Apple stuff. But it, as I say, you can put any monitor on it. It's just rather good. This price for it, £79.99, £62. I've given it a 3.5 star rating. A lot of people now also are using laptops, and it's easier and easier to use laptops on your desk as well as when you go out. It's now possible, due to advancements in technology, just to have one cable plugging in when you use it as a desktop machine. So that will serve your power and connect a multiplicity of accessories to your laptop, so you don't have to plug and unplug a dozen things. But again, one of the problems with it is that the height of the laptop is wrong. And the best thing to do is put it on a stand. You can either have one, they've got one called the high rise for MacBook, and it's on a stand, but it's got a sort of piston type arrangement, so you can raise it and lower it to the height that you want. Now that puts the screen at the right height. Obviously, it puts a keyboard up in the air at that point, which is not ideal if you've got a laptop. But then you can just link wirelessly a Bluetooth keyboard to it, and then you've got something which is far more comfortable in use.
So,
which yes, either becomes
so that the keyboard is sitting on the desk, but of course the MacBook is at the right height for your eye, which is brilliant. In fact, I'm looking at this doesn't work particularly well on the radio, of course, but I'm looking at it now, and it looks extremely stylish, I have to say. And like you say, because it's aluminium, it's sort of chrome-coloured, it would fit in any decor, but also it just looks, it doesn't look like a clunky bit of, an accessory that you know what it's like. You go to anybody who's got a home office, and it's cables and gadgets and all sorts going on, and it's a real old mess. But this makes it look really smart.
Yeah, so when I use my one of this, what I do is I put a wireless keyboard on top of, so you've got the elevated platform, if you like. And by the way, it's a sloped platform, but with a sort of grippy surface. So it doesn't have to be, they market it for MacBooks, Apple laptops, but actually any laptop would essentially fit on that, because it's just a grippy slope surface, and underneath it then there's space to actually just put the keyboard. So you put the keyboard away, and when you want to use it, you just pull it out towards you. There's no cables or anything like that. It's all wireless setup, and it's a perfect height, and particularly good with Apple stuff, because they've done this thing now where you can have multiple screens, or and use your laptop as one of the two screens, for example, or you can have a tablet at the same height as your main screen, and they work, you know, seamlessly together under Mac OS now. So that works well. That's the adjustable one, and it's called the 12 South High Rise for MacBook. And then there's the fixed height one called the 12 South Curve for MacBook, and that's not got a sort of adjustable height thing. It's just a piece of curved aluminium, but it does the job really well. It curves the keyboard towards you if you want to use it. These are used a lot by musicians, by the way, as well, people who produce electronic music who need to get stuff at the right eye level and off their desks, you know, there's too many things there. So
there's an interesting thing here, because the it's described as a cooling stand, and then I know you've also been looking at something which is described as a ventilated hidden storage shelf. And of course, this is really this is really important, isn't it, really? Because these are bits of kit that heat up really quickly.
Yeah, so the 12 South Curve for MacBooks is the one that raises up your laptop, but is not height adjustable. But if it happens to be the right height for you, it's actually a really nice design. And again, it's just a single piece of aluminium sort of looped in a particular shape, hence the term curve. And finally, this is an unusual one, but you know, sometimes less is more. So there are iMacs produced by Apple which are all in one computer, so that the computer is actually built into the screen. So all you've got is what appears to be a screen, but it's actually got the computer built into this very slim, svelte design. It's about a centimeter thick, and it's just on a stand. And what 12 South have done very cleverly is they've made essentially just a little ventilated shelf that goes on the back of the stand, out of sight from the front, and it allows you to put something on it. You know, it's just a shelf, and it allows you to put, say, an external hard drive on it. And the reason why that's important is one of the really nice tricks that you can do with a Mac is you can put everything on an external hard drive. So you could have an external solid state drive connected via Thunderbolt or USB 4, which are high speed digital connections. And then onto that external drive, you can put the operating system, Mac OS. You can put all your applications, like your Office and whatever else you use, and all your data. And that means that when you go from Mac to Mac, you can just take this little drive in your shirt pocket and plug it into different computers, and the computer becomes your computer, be it at home or at work or wherever you happen to plug into. So when I used to do training at Apple stores, for example, I would just take my little drive, not my laptop, and just plug it in, and everything was set up because it was essentially my machine. But the thing is, you don't really want one of those little drives that were just hanging off, spoiling the aesthetic. But given that they've put all the connector sockets, I don't know if you can see in the picture, but on the iMac, the connector sockets are on the back.
Yes.
And you've got this little shelf now sticking out the back, so you can just connect it in there. It's completely invisible. And the real benefit is this. Apple charge, this is my opinion, far, far too much for the internal storage. They sell base models with, in my opinion, insufficient for most purposes base storage, and then they charge a remarkably high amount of money to upgrade it to a more future-proof, reasonable amount. But now that there are these fast connectors on Macs, as I say, Thunderbolt 4, USB 4, these super fast connectors, you can link up an external SSD drive that you've purchased as a third-party device, and it will work as if it was the internal storage, and sometimes about a quarter of the price.
And that's been you can tell that's been designed by a user. That's not been just dreamt up in a board meeting. That's actually come from a user. That's brilliant.
Yeah, it's just practical. So that one gets 4 stars out of 5. So all in all, just check it out. They're called 12 South, and they're not the cheapest stuff on the market. You know, sometimes you say, oh, well, you know, it's a bit of aluminium, why are they charging that? But it's the thought and the design that goes into it, and sometimes it's a really elegant solution. You may have spent, you know, £1,000, £2,000 on a computer. Sometimes worth spending, you know, £40-60 on something that makes it more usable for you.
Yes, it certainly adds certain grace, doesn't it? Right, Fevzi is with us, our gadget detective, and I rather cheekily said that the EU Commission normally doesn't get hearts racing. To be honest with you,
it probably does, but
not
always for the right reasons.
It's certainly something, though, that in the world of tech and certainly AI products, there's some news this week.
Well, it's quite interesting because the European Union and the Commission in particular have been going after big tech for a while, trying to regulate it, trying to think about what sort of world we want to be living in the future and what rights individual citizens and consumers should have when engaging with big tech, because the balance of power has changed immensely and is changing. You know, the amount of information that these companies have about us, the ability to link up those pieces of information, understand things about us, possibly manipulate us, you know, is immense. And these organizations now have the sort of power of a government. You know, they have the user base of a country, you know, the equivalent of a population of a country, and they go up against governments. There was Facebook went up against the Australian government in an argument about whether they should pay for the news that they linked to, you know, because news costs money to produce. Facebook was making profit by linking to it, I think Google as well. And they're not paying for it. And then there was a big argument, and they just said, well, we're going to switch off the news service to Australia. And they did.
They did, and temporarily, yes.
Yeah, they did. And it was a big deal. So this is interesting. All right, we're not in the European Union, but these are things that our country now, if we're not just going to adopt EU law, and it looks like we might not, we need to think about this. And one of the things is the role of AI in the various aspects of our lives. Okay, so everything from drones through to self-driving vehicles, okay, all these things, and voice assistants in our home, they all utilize artificial intelligence. And there are circumstances under which these products can cause harm. If a self-driving AI powered car crashes, it is very much unclear who is responsible and how we would hold that party responsible for the accident, because traditionally, if it's driver error, it's the driver that's responsible, and you know, the insurance reflects that. But now, who is the driver? I mean, when you're in a self-driving car, you might own it, but it's more like being akin to being the owner of a taxi that you're sitting in.
And that's very interesting, because there are not only legal considerations there, but moral considerations as well.
Oh, the moral implications are huge, because someone is going to have to put an algorithm in these AIs to decide who dies in a no-win situation where a crash is imminent. Should the car career on and knock someone over in the middle of the road, maybe killing three people, or should it go up onto the pavement and kill one person who would otherwise survive were it not for that? And you get it gets much worse than that, and that's bad enough. You know, that's a classical ethical problem. You know, they ask you, you know, there's those questions that ethics people ask us about. There are children playing on the railroad track. The train is careering towards it. There are three children on the track. Should you pull the lever to divert the train and kill one person who would otherwise be perfectly safe? Okay. And there's all those sorts of questions. But with AI, it's worse than that, because the AI could make other judgments in an instant that humans are not capable of. For example, it could identify the individuals at risk. The person in the road could be the prime minister. The person on the pavement could be a criminal with terminal cancer and 2 weeks to live. The AI could tap into that information and make that sort of judgment if we thought that was the moral thing to do. So that's, you know, we're going off slightly on a tangent, but the point is that these AIs are going to be in every aspect of our lives. They're going to interact with us at every level. And like anything else that interacts with us, there is the possibility of things going wrong and harm being caused. And at the moment, it's very difficult to identify who is at fault and to sue them, essentially. How would you do it? Are you able to sue Tesla when a Tesla crashes and you know, hurts somebody, or any other brand of car? It's very difficult. So this AI liability directive that the European Commission is proposing tries to start to deal with some of those problems, and the problems are huge, and Lawmakers will always be lagging behind the technology, but at least, you know, the European Commission is trying to address this. I'm not saying they've necessarily got the balance correct, because these are thorny problems, but I am concerned that in this country we don't seem to be really, you know, we seem to be going from crisis to crisis. We don't seem to be planning for our digital futures, and the danger is that our citizens may not get the rights and protections of citizens in the new world, as it were. You know, for example, we talk a lot about the metaverse, this idea that we will live for large periods of time in virtual worlds. Yeah, we'll work in a virtual environment where we wear a headset and we appear to be in a room with other people who are all in actual fact all around the world. And those virtual worlds will be proprietary. They'll be owned by people like Facebook, now Meta, and other companies. And what rights should we have in these virtual worlds? Should our rights be protected in those worlds, or is it just, oh well, this is proprietary, this world is owned by Meta, and we have to just abide by their terms and conditions? You know, those pages of terms and conditions that we all say yes to and no one ever reads. You know, that could be the rights that we have, which would effectively be nil. So this idea of lawmakers actually trying to address, you know, what the future world is going to look like, in particular with artificial intelligence in that world, and what our rights and remedies should be, is really, really important questions. And it does worry me that we're not really doing anything on that front in this country.
It is interesting, isn't it? It is fascinating stuff. I'm sure we'll return to this in the weeks and the months to come. Fevzi, always a delight. He's Gadget Detective just about everywhere. Great to have you on BBC Radio Berkshire, as always. Have a lovely weekend.
Cheers, you too.